It's time for a weekly review of state news in the Wisconsin News Roundup.
The Stephen Avery trial has been in the news quite a bit lately thanks to a recent Netflix series. We'll get the story behind the case's resurgence in public interest.
After President Obama announced an executive order that would tighten regulations on gun sales, Governor Scott Walker has asked the Department of Justice to review that order, which could lead to legal action.
And earlier this week, we learned Wisconsin layoff notices topped 10,000 in 2015.
For more on these stories, Robert Menser joins us now. He's the storytelling editor for the Wausau Daily Herald and Gannett, Wisconsin Media. Rob, welcome back.
Thanks, Veronica.
Well, Netflix's Making a Murder series has put a big spotlight on Wisconsin, in particular on Manitowoc and the police department there, the Stephen Avery case, the murder of Teresa Halbach. What is your sense about why this thing has exploded the way that it has?
Yeah, it is a bona fide phenomenon. If our web traffic numbers are any indication, there are a lot of people with a very intense interest in this case as a result of the series. So Making a Murder is a 10-part documentary series that was released by Netflix, I guess late last month, about the Stephen Avery case. Of course, he was wrongfully convicted of a rape in 1985, released, and then later, about 2 years later, convicted of a murder of a 25-year-old woman named Teresa Halbach. Anybody who has watched or has witnessed the coverage is sort of familiar with the basics of that case. Probably also anybody who lived in Wisconsin at that time knows about it. But what's happened is this documentary series, besides just being very artfully made, it's a very well-made, very compelling piece of film. It also is done with a very strong, very obvious sort of point of view. All the major voices in the series are Avery's lawyers, Avery's family members, and it really focuses on the ways the investigation was mishandled. There are questions that are, legitimate questions about whether evidence was tampered with. And it's very compelling, but it's also like written from, it's like from a point of view. And so I think that's a big part of why it's caught on fire. It's not told in a dispassionate sort of journalistic way. It's more like advocacy.
Now, people who want there to be some sort of legal action on this to overturn the ruling or have it revisited, people have asked President Obama to have Stephen Avery pardoned, have directed attention at Governor Scott Walker asking for the same thing. What's the status of those requests?
Yeah, they're not going to happen, is the short version. President Obama doesn't have authority to grant a pardon, as it was mentioned in the news just a few minutes ago.
It's a state thing.
It's a state thing. And Governor Walker, of course, doesn't pardon people. He's literally pardoned zero people, and he's sort of let lapse the board that even reviews pardon applications. So those things are not happening. But the fact that there's such a that there's so many calls, you know, hundreds of thousands of people are signing these online petitions, and the clerks who manage records in Manitowoc County say that they are overrun by requests. It just is a sign of how much people have engaged with the story. And you know what? There are some legitimately disturbing things within the story. The treatment of Avery's mentally disabled nephew, Brendan Dassey, is heartbreaking in the series. That none of that necessarily means that Avery is not guilty, but it's clear that people have this sort of emotional reaction.
I want to follow up on something you said. You said Governor Walker doesn't pardon people. He hasn't pardoned anybody since he's been in office. Is that following a trend of governors before him, or is that unique to him?
No, it certainly is unique to him. It was a decision that the governor made very early on in his office. Within the first year, there was a statement made to media that the governor has just decided not to review these applications, and he's stuck with it. I recall a couple of years ago, there was a case of an Iraq war veteran who had gotten in a bar fight, I think 2 days after he returned home from the war, and that the fact that he had that case meant that he couldn't become a police officer, which is what he always wanted to do. There was a call for him to receive a pardon, and Walker just doesn't do it. It's just not something that he's chosen to do. Maybe it changes it at the end of his tenure as governor, but so far he doesn't even review those applications.
Are there other governors that choose that same thing?
You know, it seems like it's in a certain way you would think that why does any governor do it in a one way of looking at it, because the political downside is quite obvious, right, to granting a pardon. I mean, and you can imagine if Governor Walker came into the Stephen Avery case and granted a pardon, that would throw some sort of law enforcement communities into somewhat of chaos. So you can understand why a politician would be hesitant to do that. But it's also, I mean, it's in the Constitution, right? It's an executive power that's supposed to be a check on the judiciary.
We're talking right now to Robert Menser, storytelling editor for the Wausau Daily Herald and Gannett Central Wisconsin Media. We're talking to him for our Wisconsin News Roundup. We're going to stick with Governor Walker now. Other state news, Governor Walker has asked the state to look into President Obama's executive action on gun policy. And what is Governor Walker asking the state to do in this case?
Sure. Well, President Obama this week announced a set of new executive orders that are aimed at sort of, tightening regulations on the sale of guns or stepping up enforcement of current laws. So they're executive orders. They're not new laws, and they're sort of limited and quite technical about what the executive orders actually do. But the day after Obama gave his press conference, Walker announced, basically all but stated that Wisconsin was likely to sue the federal government over the regulations. His statement was that Obama was disregarding the constitutional principles of separation of powers, exceeding his authority, and so on. So specifically what we're talking about is what is called the gun show loophole. So the executive order, what it aims to do is clarify who counts as a seller of guns and who needs to follow certain regulations, register as a seller, and whether people who sell on the internet need to do that. So that's sort of what this is about. And from Walker's point of view, who's been, you know, certainly extremely pro Second Amendment throughout his tenure as governor, this has been a key issue, an important sort of identity issue, and the signal is that he's gonna fight it all the way.
And of course, this isn't the first time that the governor and the state have challenged the president. Look at things like health care, the Affordable Care Act, and some recent EPA initiatives. Is the state able to sue the federal government on this?
Sure. Yeah. Sure, they can, and I would be surprised if Wisconsin turns out to be the only one. Right. It's a way that governors can challenge executive authority of a president that they disagree with. And you know, I mean, it is a legal matter, right? How much authority does the executive of our country have to set regulations, enforce regulations? What is the difference between clarifying the language of the law and sort of having the president write a new law himself? I mean, that is a hard question. So you would expect it to be over such a hot button issue. You would expect it to be contentious, and it is very likely that it will play out in court.
And we're going to move to the jobs outlook here in Wisconsin. A report came out earlier this week that showed Wisconsin saw over 10,000 layoffs in the year 2015. This is up from quite a while, at least 2010. What is the story here?
Yeah, so we got the final numbers for 2015. The State Department of Workforce Development had been notified of more than 10,000 layoffs. Of course, there's a threshold. They don't necessarily get notified of every single layoff in the state, but that's a symbol of overall how the state is doing. It's the highest it's been since Walker's been in office in 2011. It's the worst number since the Great Recession in 2009 to 2010, when, by the way, it was substantially higher. You know, on the other side of things, the governor points out and Republicans point out that unemployment rate has dropped basically all year. I think it was 4.3% as of November. Labor force participation is up. So it's a question how much the layoffs themselves ought to be understood as a barometer of Wisconsin's economic health. But I think, you know, I mean, it can't be a good thing, right?
And we're going to wrap up with a couple of bills proposed in the state legislature this week. One regards hands-free devices, and the other one looks at fantasy sports betting. Can you give us a little bit of a snapshot of those two?
Sure. Yeah, quickies. I mean, they're bills sort of being drafted, and we'll see if they go anywhere. Representative Peter Barca, a Democrat of Kenosha, says he's going to introduce a bill that would ban people talking on their cell phones while they're driving. It's something that a lot of like individual municipalities have, but this would be the first attempt at making that a statewide law. I'm going to endorse this law. I'm for that. I don't like people talking on their phones while they're driving. Like, just have a hands-free, you know? The other one is Representative Tyler Vorpagel of Plymouth, a Republican, says that he wants a law to protect Wisconsinites' right to bet on fantasy sports. This has been, these daily fantasy sports have been a huge sensation, and some states, like New York, have sort of cracked down on those legally. And here's a Wisconsin legislator who says, yeah, no, Wisconsinites, why don't you go ahead and bet?
And we leave it there till next week. Rob, thanks a lot.
All right, thank you.
That was State News Editor Robert Menser helping us review the biggest stories from around the state this week for our Wisconsin News Roundup.